and wow, the results are phenomenal. I'm extremely impressed with what Tesla's been able to accomplish in the second quarter. So we're going to quickly go through just the financial results. We'll look at a couple of takeaways from the shareholder letter as well. And then we are going to segue into the earnings call afterwards. So there will be a different link for that down in the show notes, but we'll get this out before then. So right off the bat, let's just look at some of the numbers here. I'll shift over to Excel and we can see how Tesla's actuals compared to the analyst consensus as well as the numbers that I was forecasting. So deliveries, no surprise there, came in right as we expected them to, as they usually do. Automotive sales, Tesla, significant beat here versus what I was expecting and versus what analysts were expecting. 3% above my levels, 2% above the analyst consensus. That was driven by better actual average selling prices, because as you can see here, regulatory credits, which we talked about in the preview, I've consistently been forecasting those too high. This time I forecast them too, or sorry, I forecast them too low previously. This time I forecast them too high. So I was at 500 million. Tesla reported 354 million, meaning non-automotive sales excluding regulatory credits was way, way higher than what I had expected, meaning average selling prices were much better than what I had predicted. Same thing here with energy. Tesla beating my expectations by 26%, analyst consensus by 39%, driven by just greater, they say greater recognition of Megapack sales this quarter. So if we scroll down here, we can see that Tesla delivered about 1.3 gigawatt hours of energy storage, second highest ever, and significantly up quarter over quarter, about three times what Tesla did in Q1, and quite a bit higher than my expectation as well as analyst consensus. So that drove a beat on the energy line, and then the service and other line, that also came in ahead of analyst expectations, about right where I was forecasting it at. So Tesla delivering a pretty big beat, about a 4% beat on the top line number there, with about $12 billion in revenue, up 98% year over year. So super happy with the top line, but as you guys know, one of the first things that I look at when I open up the report is automotive gross margin excluding regulatory credits. So I was forecasting a 210 basis point increase here quarter over quarter. Tesla delivered a 380 basis point increase, so driving their automotive gross margin ex credits up to nearly 26%, 25.8% here. That's 7% better, 7 percentage points better than last year. Obviously, last year Tesla was dealing with impacts of the pandemic, but still, you can see here, this is the highest quarter by far in the last 15 months. So super, super impressed with the gross margin X credit number there. Energy then broke into positive as well. So last quarter, negative 20%. Even Q4 was negative 4%, 4, 5%. This quarter, Tesla getting back to slightly above break even on energy, 2.5% here, a little bit higher than my forecast as well as the analyst consensus. So good to see that energy business flip back to positive. I think the solar roof was really, really driving that down in Q1. But Tesla, obviously, at the start of Q2, adjusted pricing, and it looks like that has had an impact and helped get that business back to break even, which is a really good sign. Services and others, you know, this business line has cost Tesla, in terms of profitability, over the last 12 months before this, $350 million in total. This quarter, they narrowed the loss to just $35 million. So a negative 3.5% gross margin, essentially, about right what I was forecasting at. But really happy to see the improvement in that, and that's helping Tesla's total gross margin continue to increase as the service impact becomes less negative. So at the end of the day, total gross margin, this does include regulatory credits, improved by nearly 3 percentage points from Q1 and 3 percentage points from last year as well. So you can see there, that's about 7/10 of a percent higher than what I was expecting, 1.8% higher than what Wall Street was expecting. So then we look at operational expense. We got R&D, SG&A, and then Bitcoin. So R&D came in a little bit lower than what I expected. That fell quarter over quarter. So that means Tesla's just bringing more of that revenue and profit down to the bottom line with those lower expenses. Same thing with SG&A. That fell by almost $100 million quarter over quarter, right pretty close to in line with my expectations, about 2% above what I had expected. And then this Bitcoin charge. So we'll talk a little bit more about SG&A in a second. But then this Bitcoin charge, only $23 million of expense here for Bitcoin impairment. Remember, that's not actually a cash cost. That's just something that Tesla has to account for if Bitcoin hits a new low at any point in a quarter. Kind of a funky accounting thing there. But most of the prognostication that I had seen, it expected a loss there from impairment of about $120 million, somewhere 100, 120, somewhere in that range. The impairment was only $23 million, so it did actually still hurt Tesla's financials, still added to their expenses. Again, not a cash cost, but it'll be interesting to figure out why that is. It looks like some of our accounting there was a little bit off. So at any rate, even with that charge, Tesla at about, you know, a little bit less than $1.6 billion in operating expenses, that was down quarter over quarter, even though that Bitcoin expense flipped from actually benefiting Tesla in Q1 to hurting Tesla in Q2. They were still able to drive operating expenses down to below $1.6 billion. That means that of their $2.9 billion in gross profit, about $1.3 billion of that fell to the bottom line. So that's, or fell past operating expenses. So in Q1, on revenue that was only, you know, $1.5 billion less, Tesla made only about $700 million less. So essentially that half of that extra profit that they generated this quarter falling into operating income, which is tremendous. You can see that that's up 300% year over year. So four times last year's level, even though revenue was only double. So that's that operating leverage that we're always talking about Tesla generating. And you can see they beat my forecast handedly, 37% higher than what I had forecast. And my forecast was even, you know, $100 million higher than analyst consensus. So beating operating income from Wall Street's expectations by 50%. That's just phenomenal. 11% operating margin there. So you can see way higher than we've been at in the past. Q3 last year was already phenomenal at 9%. And Tesla driving that up, even though Q2 generally a weaker quarter than Q3 is. So we could continue to see this improve even through the end of the year. EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, came in at about $2.5 billion, about $400 million higher than what I had expected, 20% higher. Net income, non-GAAP, $1.6 billion, so about $400 million higher there as well, 33% above what I had expected. So stock-based compensation, we talked about this. This does include Elon Musk's compensation plan. So you can see here that came in at $176 million this quarter. That was right around where I had expected it. And that means there's only about $400 to $500 million left for that compensation plan for the remainder of the plan. So these numbers are going to continue to dwindle. And in the context of Tesla's growing revenue and growing profit, this does have an impact because it goes right into that SG&A line. And you can see, you know, the difference there from Q1 to Q2 is that the CEO compensation dropped off from almost $300 million in Q1. About $125 million less in Q2, and you can see that come back here in the SG&A line. So that's really helping drive the operating leverage, and that is something that's going to continue in the coming quarters. So with that stock-based compensation, that's the only difference between non-GAAP and GAAP net income for Tesla. So they posted a GAAP net income of $1.1 billion, 57% above my expectations, 89% above what Wall Street was expecting. Like, this is a huge, huge beat. I'm not sure what the stock is doing. It was up like 2% when I last looked. but a 90% beat, stock up 2%. I don't know. I'm not sure that that math works out for me. I think Tesla should be getting quite a bit more recognition for this. We'll see what happens the rest of the after-hours session. Okay, so earnings per share. This is just nuts. So $1.45. I was expecting $1.07. Wall Street was expecting 94 cents. So it came in 51 cents above analyst expectations. Again, more than a 50% beat on earnings per share. GAAP earnings per share, $1.02. So I was expecting 64 cents, 38 cent beat there for me as well. And I tweeted this out just a moment ago, but if we sum up the last four quarters, Tesla over the last four quarters has earned $1.92 per share on a GAAP basis, meaning their price to earnings ratio has now dropped, as the last price that I looked at, below 350. It's like 347x right now. Again, remember, 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, Tesla's price to earnings was over 1,000, and you hear these people complaining about, oh, Tesla could never grow into that valuation. Well, they've already cut that, you know, 70% in just 5 months. So again, looking forward, Tesla's gonna continue to drive this up. You know, we're gonna probably get another quarter next quarter, you know, maybe above a dollar again, and then you're going to be replacing this 27 cent quarter with another dollar quarter. And let's just do the quick math on that. That gets us to maybe, you know, 265 ish in GAAP earnings per share trailing 12 months. Let's say the stock is at 700. So then that's going to bring your earnings per share down to, or sorry, your price to earnings ratio down to 264x. So it's just going to continue to drop unless the stock price rises. Free cash flow, $600 million. Analysts were expecting negative $150 million. So much better free cash flow there. Tesla did talk about paying down some debt. So I think their actual cash on hand did decline. And they'll continue to pay down debt, it looks like, in Q3 as well. So nothing to be concerned about. Plenty of cash on hand and free cash flow positive. That's really what gives you a sense of the cash flow in the business, excluding some of those one-time items. The only thing I think we didn't talk about in the financials yet is solar. So that did come in a little bit lighter than what I expected. But still, I think it was up three times last year, Q2 last year. So 85 megawatts there. But again, a huge beat on the storage side. Definitely making up for that and driving that energy sales beat. So let's hop over to the earnings letter here. Just a couple of things that I wanted to point out on that. Switch back to the browser. So, and bear with me here because this is kind of the hard part to like remember where everything is at here. So Tesla here talking about supply chain challenges, particularly global semiconductor shortages, port congestion, continue to be present in Q2. No surprise there, but it just goes to show that even with these phenomenal results, Tesla still could have done better if things had been, you know, quote unquote, more normal in just the manufacturing industries this quarter, and they didn't have to deal with some of those challenges logistically there with port congestion and obviously on the supply chain side as well. So I think, you know, when we're talking about Tesla beating expectations, their ability to manage through that has consistently, I think, allowed for that. And it's really good to see that even though there are these supply chain challenges, which are probably impacting costs, and we know materials costs are going up too, Tesla's still able to make this phenomenal progress on the gross margin line, the profitability lines. It's again, really just incredible. Okay, so they talk about launching Tesla Vision there. Let's see, anything in these financials we didn't talk about? I think we got through all that stuff. So revenue, they did talk a little bit about the average selling price. So declined a little bit year over year, but that was due to Model S and Model X, which I have not emphasized this point enough. The numbers that we just looked at, that only included 1,900 deliveries from S and X. So really, this is just the fundamental strength of Tesla's business built off the 3 and the Y, not even at full capacity yet, as Shanghai continues to ramp up, although it's getting close. And obviously Giga Berlin and Texas waiting in the wings. So there's a lot to be excited about when those come online. Operating income, I think we talked about most of that. They talked about the stock-based compensation, which again, that raises the SG&A expenses. Increased cost due to stock-based compensation, Model S and X ramp, which was negative margin in Q2. That is what I expected, so no surprise there. I expected about a negative, you know, a $50 million loss on that business this quarter. We'll see if Zach gives us that number on the call. And then, yeah, that Bitcoin charge, kind of a head-scratcher. Again, most people expected $100 million of impairment. But maybe they're just, you know, maybe the low is not an intraday low. Maybe it's just a specific point in time. I think that's probably what's driving it off. Maybe we can get a little bit more information on that, too. But again, not a huge important factor. And Bitcoin, I think, is already way, way up this quarter. So shouldn't impact Q3, hopefully. Cash, so down to $16.2 billion. Again, because they paid off $1.6 billion in debt, partially offset by the positive free cash flow. Inventory, so 9 days of inventory. That's something we could have calculated before, but you can see it continues to remain very low for Tesla, even though they did produce more vehicles this quarter than they delivered. Some of those vehicles just in the process of being shipped and delivered. Okay, so talking about some of their production stuff here, they say, you know, global demand continues to be robust. We're producing at the limits of available parts supply. They did increase their little installed capacity chart here. So this had previously said 450,000 for Model 3 and Model Y in Shanghai. They added that nice little open bracket there. So looks like Tesla is going to continue to ramp up with the 3 and the Y from Shanghai, which I don't think they gave us too much other detail on. But they did say that, I think they said most of the production, yeah, majority of all Model 3 and Model Y production was delivered in North America from their US factories. So it's kind of worded a little bit weird there, but basically from Fremont, they're only supplying North America right now just because demand is so high. And they say they've completed their transition of Gigafactory Shanghai as the primary vehicle export hub. Okay, so let's see. They continue to install equipment at Berlin. Let's make sure I didn't miss anything on Texas up here. Build out of Gigafactory Texas continued to progress in Q2, commissioning having begun in some areas of the factory. I think they give us a little bit more detail on that a little bit later on. Same with Berlin, so we'll skip over that for now. Autopilot and FSD, so they talked about removing radar there, switching over to pure vision. Nothing super new in that section, but strong positive feedback from current users. That's good to see. Vehicle software. Our team has demonstrated unparalleled ability to react quickly and mitigate disruptions, manufacturing caused by the semiconductor shortages. They talked about that in Q1 as well, switching over to microcontrollers. Our electrical and firmware engineering teams remain hard at work designing, developing, and validating 19 new variants of controllers in response to ongoing semiconductor shortages. So just kind of crazy what Tesla is doing to be able to, you know, overcome this and still produce vehicles up to their, you know, pretty close to their capacity. Okay, so this section is huge. Battery and powertrain. There's a couple of super important points here that I want to make sure that are heavily emphasized. So we have successfully validated performance and lifetime of our 4680 cells produced at our Cato facility in California. We are nearing the end of manufacturing validation at Cato. So they've validated that these cells are working and that they're going to work for a long enough time. Now they're just getting to make sure that, getting through the process of making sure that they can produce them in volume. So they say that they're on sort of the last 10% of the manufacturing processes that are currently bottlenecking that production. So last earnings call, Elon said they're probably 12 to 18 months out from that volume production. Looks like Tesla's still tracking, you know, really well on that timeline, hopefully towards the earlier end here. We'll see if they add any details on the call, but definitely exciting to see that about the batteries for 4680s. Energy storage we talked about, so they recognized several megapack projects. I think what we saw in Q1 was probably just they had projects in the works and they weren't recognizing them because they weren't finished. So we might see energy storage be a little bit lumpier going forward as megapack becomes a bigger part of the mix, and it looks like they're not recognizing that until probably the project is done. So we may see that just come up and down a little bit in future quarters, which is going to make energy a little bit trickier to recognize or to forecast. You can see here, so the and sorry, I might have been covering up some stuff earlier, apologize for that, but you can see here the total gigawatt hours deployed for energy storage that continues to ramp up nicely when you just look over an annual period. Okay, so they talk about services and others margin. They reiterate, you know, planning to grow more than 50% this year. No surprise on that. Sufficient liquidity, operating margin continuing to grow. Again, no surprise there. So product updates here. We believe we remain on track to build our first Model Y vehicles in Berlin and Austin in 2021. So they say, obviously, the pace is going to depend on a lot of things. Limited battery cells, global supply chain challenges. So due to that, they say they've shifted semi-truck production to 2022. I think no big surprise on that. You know, there are bigger priorities. Anything semi-related this year wasn't going to be super material anyway. Obviously, it's disappointing to hear that, but not too surprising. As for Cybertruck, no clear update on timing. Maybe we'll hear more about that on the call. But they say they are making progress on the industrialization of the Cybertruck. Currently planned for Austin production, subsequent to Model Y. So despite those rumors that we had, as I said, I still expect Model Y first, and it looks like Tesla here confirming that. Just a few quick photos here, and then we'll wrap up. So Model Y, Berlin, certainly looking like a factory. The paint shop, a lot of machinery in there, looking like it's ready to go. Then for Texas, you can see just the progress from 6 months ago to today. Really incredible. Stamping presses here. Model Y body shop. So again, tons of equipment inside. Looks like we got a lot of workers there celebrating something on the roof. And then Shanghai continues to expand. A lot of these buildings, you know, compared to a year ago, wouldn't have been there. And then these just get into Tesla financials again. So I think those are the big things. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the recap. I'd reiterate how impressive this quarter has been for Tesla. Really, really an impressive result. The operating leverage is just insane. Tesla's cost control is really strong. I think the Model Y from Fremont is driving a ton of that. And we've only seen Tesla increase prices throughout Q2 and again in Q3. So Q3 is shaping up to just be like a ridiculous quarter. This quarter is already a ridiculous quarter, but definitely looking ahead, there's a lot, as I said before, to be excited about. So again, we're now going to transition into the earnings call. There will be a link for that down in the description. So if you want to watch that with me, I'm not going to interrupt the call at all. I'll have my notes as I usually do, just kind of emphasizing things as the call happens. And then in that, we'll just do a quick recap after the call happens as well. So with that, I'm going to wrap this up and again, transition over to that, and I'll see you there. Thank you.